T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
One is a football guy obsessed with the Pats and their QB.
Brady can play till he's 50. Changed my mind.
The other, a basketball guy who truly bleeds green.
But goddamn, the one thing that I love to do is sit down and watch the Boston Celtics at the end of the day.
Together, they make for a perfectly imperfect pair of Boston sports superfans.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
It's the Oddballs with Fitzy and Gilroy on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
A lot of anxiety at Fenway Park, I was told.
Some good, some not so good.
I've earned that respect in terms of how great I am as a player.
His performance, I think, is magnetic.
3-hour show. Can I get one third of the show that I host?
We ask our fans to reserve judgment.
I thought I made a friend.
But to go public? Yeah, that it didn't sit well with me.
And they deserve to get booed, Fitzy.
Are we playing Fruit Ninja with a baseball?
It's something that you don't do. I totally get
being quiet about coaching jobs with the New York Giants and the Washington Redskins.
What the hell is happening to my basketball team? Highlight of my week right there. Every week. I look forward to that 1 minute.
What do we call it? But it's not the fastest minute. It's not the rundown. Is it the catch-up?
The catch-up's not a bad one.
What have I called it in the past, Drew Johnson? Man of the lame...
The table setter?
That is not befitting of your stature.
We've gone with the table setter.
Table setter, that's right. He sets the table.
That's table setter. That's well done, Drew. And I don't know how long that takes you, if it takes you hours, minutes, mere moments. I don't know. But you could lie to me and tell me that it takes you all night long, all day, whatever. I would believe it. It is clearly the highlight of my time here over the weekend at WEI. It is sports radio.
We're going to do something about the rest of your week.
I know. Well, I got something good coming up tonight. I'll tell you later. But it is sports radio. WEI, my name is Patrick Gilroy. His name is Fitzy. We are the Oddballs. The number to join us here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter at Gilroy on Hoops. You find Fitzy on Twitter at Fitzy GFY.
Coming off of an ironically timed Red Sox winter weekend at the MGM Springfield. You think when this whole week shook out and then everyone's like, hey, don't forget this weekend, it's time to get excited for the Red Sox season.
It's winter weekend.
Awkward party of us.
I heard Bradford talking in the last half an hour
You're technically supposed to refer to him as Bradfo Show.
Bradfo Show, okay. Hashtag Bradfo Show? I mean, do I really have to
go? Hashtag Boom Sauce, but it's Bradfo Show.
Okay. That's so, what you're here
right,
for.
Because you have to do Brad. It's the whole thing, because I got a podcast coming out, and you got to speak in terms of podcast titles and pod combination whenever possible. But I digress.
My good friend, Rob Bradford. Yes. I heard him in the last half an hour.
Also acceptable.
And you know, it's interesting the way that he looks at it. And I don't think he's completely wrong here. The fact is, nobody was talking about the Red Sox at all a couple of weeks ago. The Red Sox were the furthest thing from anybody's mind. So in a way, this story coming to light sort of thrust the Red Sox back on our radar. So now if the Red Sox are somehow able to sort of skate by and get away from this without looking nearly as bad as the Astros, was it really a bad thing? Because now the Red Sox are you know, front and center. They're right there. We're a couple of weeks away from pitchers and catchers reporting. And if you can spin this into some sort of good PR, now the Red Sox are, you know, right there, front of mind, top of conversation, where they weren't a couple of weeks back.
I heard Dale Arnold yesterday saying, hey, guys, is there any chance maybe this isn't such a bad thing for baseball? Now, of course, in the grand scheme of things, both of us fathers of children that play Little League Baseball, and we want them to grow up not to be complete deviants, or at least not to, you know, look to cut every corner and cheat whenever possible. Yeah, but you have Brady jerseys for them, you jerks. You know, it's interesting he said that, because I was thinking the same thing. You know, baseball, in a lot of ways, kind of needed a good scandal. It's the old, like, well, no such thing as bad press. No such thing as bad PR. You know what I mean? We're talking about, and then Dale's point was, we're actually talking about the Red Sox and Major League Baseball significantly. They're dominating the headlines for the full week leading up to AFC-NFC Championship Sunday, which I refer to as the Christmas of football Sundays. Now, mind you, it all does come with a ginormous disclaimer and or caveat that the Patriots are not playing.
And would
where
they?
Where would things be? How would we have handled this week? And what would the dialogue and discourse be were the Patriots involved Sunday?
Look, I think
I know, and if my aunt had a blank, she'd be my uncle.
But I think it's super hypocritical to sit here, and we're going to sit here and pass judgment on the Red Sox, on the Astros, on all of these teams, because, again, you know, we're Patriots fans, so we justified whatever stuff was going on over the years here.
That's my God-given right as a Patriots and New England sports fan.
And I'm the same way, okay? I justify Red Auerbach turning the heat up in the, at the Garden back in the day,
right.
Okay?
Dead spots in the Garden, warm Gatorade, turning up the heat, making it cold,
you
whatever.
Do what you, competitive advantage, right?
But those are like... Yes, competitive advantage, but in my world, there's a delineation between, like, cheating and competitive advantage slash gamesmanship.
So
like, I don't have to give you... I don't have to give you room temperature Gatorade. And also, would you like G2? You know, are you diabetic? Do I have to give you G0? Versus just, you know, and versus screwing around. Versus what the Astros did. Now, we don't know exactly what the extent, the full extent of what the Red Sox did. We heard earlier in the week with the reports from Drellick and whatnot that it was the hammer was going to fall, that the Sox were going to get punished bad. And there was the mutual parting ways or conscious uncoupling for you goopers out there of the Red Sox and Alex Cora this week. And then the press conference where we heard nothing over 50 minutes except, sounded like we sat down with Lumberg at Initech. And it was a love fest for somebody they just fired for admittedly cheating, which was just super, super strange. I don't know what to think right now, but the one thing I am pretty damn well confident of is what the Astros did was not right at all. And if the Red Sox did anything near that, I'm going to be pissed.
So if the Red Sox, if it comes out the Red Sox did anything like the Astros, are you of the mind that you should walk away from their most recent World Series? I mean, do you put
an asterisk? No, we're not vacating titles.
Okay, why not? If you cheated your way to a title, then why not? If you're really going to put your line in the sand there and say, okay, the Astros' level of cheating, that's the line that you cannot cross. The moment you cross that line,
they hacked a feed into a camera. I mean, this is borderline akin to what the Cardinals did a couple of years ago, and there were fines and draft picks, and I think someone actually got sent to jail. Like the Astros, they hacked it. What are they? They got the center feed camera feed into the dugout and then banged on trash cans, and guys may or may not have worn wires. What is this, an 80s cop drama? Oh, my God.
So, and here's the sort of fundamental question and issue that I have with all of this, Fitzy, is part of me doesn't have a problem with it. Part of me says, good for you. You figured out a system. You figured out a way to do it. Because, again, in the game of baseball, there's been sign stealing going on for 100 years. And all the Astros did, all the Red Sox might have done, is technology is sort of caught up with the game of baseball. And you're using technology to your advantage where that technology may not have existed 20, 30, 50, 100 years ago.
That's why I can't stand the technology. That's why somebody who literally, I mean, I don't own an Apple Watch, but like I've got technology all over my house, but I don't. But to a degree, like I moderate my technology because I don't want to be a slave to it, nor do I want anybody being able to completely hack into and own my life at a given moment. Like, I'm not going to have my baby monitor on Wi-Fi. I'm certainly not going to have like a Nest camera. Sorry to lose that possible endorsement, WEEI, but I'm not going to have a Nest camera outside because I don't want someone being able to, if I'm looking for my Amazon package, I don't want someone else being able to hop in and take a look around my house or get a hold of anything else. I've had a problem, and we've argued about this on Greg's show a number of times. Look, you either give in to technology completely in sports. I don't want to start a new segment on Oddballs called, like, get off my lawn. Or, okay, Boomer, I'm turned 46 tomorrow, but I'm a pretty young 46. That said, either give in to technology completely, and I want frickin' lasers giving you a strike zone, and I want Belichick's little nano camera on the pylon so that there can be no question because Skynet has decided the outcome. Or let's just go back to the good old fashioned, we hired grown adults to call it, the grown adults play it, and it is what it is.
But the grown adults that work behind the scenes, Fitzy, those are the guys that are trying to get the competitive advantage.
But at the end of the day, words and paper. You can even have it on like the Microsoft Surface on the sideline, but So help me God, the Astros, it really bothers you? Doesn't make it fun.
See, it doesn't bother me. I want to be bothered by it. I do, but it just doesn't bother me. I'm the same guy that sat here and I got into a big debate a couple of years ago because for whatever reason, the steroid era came up and it dominated the conversation for a couple of days. And I took a lot of heat for that. I have no problem with the steroid era. I say these guys want to juice, let them juice. It saved the game of baseball. And once again, baseball as a whole, the league, the commissioner, everybody was the ultimate hypocrite in that situation because they all knew what the players were doing. They also knew they were coming off the 94 strike, and they desperately needed that home run chase. They needed what they got from McGuire. They needed what they got from Sosa, eventually Barry Bonds. They needed it to re-engage the fans.
Right.
You used the players, and then you punish the players when they're all done. It makes no sense to me.
No, it still bothers me to this day that they first cheated us out of what could have been one of the best World Series of the last 30 years in 1994 because the Mariners and the Expos were on a collision course to an incredible World Series that year, just with both teams stacked with prospects, people that are Hall of Famers, baseball cards. We're talking, you know, names on the backs of jerseys for decades to come. So we get cheated out of that because these idiots can't figure out who should get what and how much they're going to get overpaid for it. They walk away and everyone's like, oh, cool, you're back next year. Whatever. We're going to start watching football. Then fantasy football comes in a few years later. And guess what? Football takes over as our national pastime and has for 2.5 decades straight. They allow McGuire and Sosa to juice it up, and we get into the 1998 national home run chase, and it was kind of awesome. It was really, really, really engaging. But for baseball then to turn a blind eye, actually not even a blind eye, a judgmental, scornful, punishing eye to those two guys, how you don't even just dare approach them and say, guys, listen, you're going to be super famous and super rich, but then we're going to have to distance ourselves. Like, where was the Mission Impossible? Like, if you get caught, we will disavow any and all knowledge of you. That they get caught and then baseball, like it's just a shame. That, to me, is a tragedy. And now what's going on, it's not a tragedy. It's just a shame. It sucks.
But again, I think there's a little bit of naivete coming out of you right now, Fitzy, because, again, I want to believe that people are...
It's not naivete. It's like earn it. Like, believe it or not, for someone like me who uses the language that I've used and lived the life that I've led, there's still like an earnest green to me.
So you're a better human being than I am.
Nope.
Just say it.
No.
Use the language that you use.
I've done plenty of terrible things myself as well, but like... You know,
I mean, in a perfect world, again, for my son's sake, I would love to believe that people are genuinely good. And that competitive advantage, when it meets the line of cheating, somebody will realize that. Their conscience will tell them, back off. But that's not the case. Everybody is trying to find an edge. And we have explained this away for years here in New England. So, again, you know, Fitzy, I can't tell you how many times, you probably can't tell me how many times in the last 15 years you have used, I don't know, verbiage like Belichick just wants to get a competitive advantage. Belichick is just out there, you're doing what everybody else does with the cameras. Oh, it wasn't really cheating. Everybody else was stealing the signs and had video cameras out there. Belichick was guilty of arrogance by doing it after the memo came out. That's what Patriot fans have told themselves forever. Mm-hmm. How is that any different than what's going on in Major League Baseball?
How is that any different?
Yeah, how's it any different? They broke the rules to get an advantage.
Here's the problem. We don't know how or why it's any different because Goodell destroyed the tapes. Because of what he did in 2007, not only A, do we not necessarily know because we never had full disclosure, and I can't believe we're at a point now where 12 and a half years later, we wish that he hadn't destroyed the tapes so we could have known and either said, wow, he did that. He was really wrong. Shame on him. And shame on us. Well, how did we know? We feel duped. And then Belichick could have proved himself just the same way Tom Brady proved himself for the counterpunch or the excessive punishment of Deflategate, which was an equipment violation. Should have been a $25,000 fine, if anything, when other starting quarterbacks league-wide said, oh, I've been doing that for years. I've done far worse. I've done it brazenly on the sideline in the middle of the game. Could probably go back and check the Fox broadcast and see me deflating a ball or scuffing it up just so I could get a better grip. I mean, It's absurd. So how do we don't necessarily know. And the sad part is I actually kind of do. I could easily just tell you like, I don't really care at that point because I'm a Pats fan and I like the Pats more. So whatever. That's my, you know, it's cheating that benefited me. So I'm okay with it. Plus, there's no proof.
I kind of feel like that's the road you're going down.
No, it's not. I do kind of wish I knew. I mean, listen, I don't want to give back anything that the Patriots won, and I don't think that they got that much of an advantage. We don't know exactly how much of an advantage the Red Sox got. There is clear and indefensible evidence. You cannot tell me that what the Astros did not give them a massive competitive advantage in all these games on a team, by the way, Gilroy, that really didn't need it because they were already loaded.
Okay, of course it gave them a bit of an advantage, but so what? These teams, again, in years past, I'm sure if Major League Baseball launches the type of investigation that it would take, and they won't because they don't want to know what they'll find, okay? And that's the thing here.
Don't pick up that rock.
Exactly. A little bit of ignorance goes a long way in this situation. Teams have been doing this forever, and different technologies for different eras, different systems for different eras, but if you listen to what the retired players are saying, this stuff has been going on forever, and now we're going to sit here and condemn it because it looks a little bit worse because, oh God, we've got technology involved and we can hear the barrels. We can hear these guys out there. Now we can see potentially where the camera was underneath somebody's jersey as they're running to home base. I mean, all of this stuff.
Wire, they're getting buzzed. I mean, we're talking about
still going to hit the ball.
Literally the guy that we don't know that. I mean, like, literally, they're getting electroshocks like the dude opposite Venkman in the laboratory test in that early scene in Ghostbusters. Like, they're getting zapped.
They are. And that's what the team sort of devised. That's the way that they went with this. And again, I feel like we're sitting here.
It's extreme. That's Black Sox to me.
It's extreme. It's not Black Sox. It's extreme. How you get the signal delivered, how the message gets to
Jose Altuve is the new Shoeless Joe for a generation that's out on baseball.
I guess what I'm trying to say is no matter how that message is delivered, no matter how that sign that is stolen is delivered to the batter, does it really matter how they receive the information? Because they've been receiving the information from stolen signs forever. So why does it matter how that message got delivered to the recipient?
Aren't there rules that clearly state you can't use other equipment? You're only allowed to use the equipment. Like, I don't go to, you know, MVP Sports. Oh, geez,
that place has been closed for 20 years.
I don't go to Dick's Sporting Goods, I should say. I don't go to Second Play It Again Sports in Waltham. Ding, local rando plug. And then say, hey guys, do you have any contemporary competitive advantage gaining equipment? You know, you go and I'm going to buy my kid like gloves, a bat, a ball, a hat, shin pads, maybe a chest, I don't know.
iPod, Apple protector. Watch. I mean, these things are part of the game now.
No, they shouldn't be.
But they are. They're
allowed to be. Everything's allowed to be a part of the game except in the arena of play. I'm a big proponent of rules of engagement in general in life. So we have rules for the way things are supposed to be played for a particular reason, okay? I think it's kind of absurd that they actually apply where they were devised, which is in warfare. But in every other engagement, I just like to know exactly what the rules are before we get into it so that I know how level the playing field is or how imbalanced the playing field is going to be.
But shouldn't
I think everyone should. And if I don't have that, we should both be able to have it. Then at this point now, it's going to be about who is better at concealing their signals. But if you're playing, this is why I'm saying this. That's why I go back to my first point. Either everyone has, you, Oprah style, you have an Apple Watch, you have an Apple Watch, you've got Altuve's buzzer, you've got Altuve's buzzer, you've got an Ernie Adams. Either everyone gets them or no one gets
them. Isn't it a safe assumption right now, Fitzy, that everybody's doing something? So you just better be best at what you're doing to get that advantage. That's what ultimately I think drove the Astros to do this and maybe drove the Red Sox to do this and whoever else is guilty out there of doing what they did because they know that everybody is doing something to steal these signs. So who can develop the best system? Who can develop the most elaborate system, the most effective system? More power to them for developing the system. They know that to get that even playing field that you're looking for, that they've got to do something because they know their opponent is doing something.
But don't you feel like if you're, see, I would just feel like one of these pitchers, I cannot believe, like, screw you, 2020 baseball scandal, for making me sympathize with CC Sabathia, because he came out this week and said that he feels like the Yankees got jobbed out of a trip to the World Series in 2017. And don't even get me started on feeling baddish for the Dodgers. But Sabathia said he feels like they got jobbed out of it because they didn't have that elaborate scandal, excuse me, the elaborate system set up, and they just tried to pitch and hit their way to it. Now, I'm sure they do a couple of things.
They were doing it the right way, I'm sure.
No,
I mean,
I'm not going to romanticize it. They're doing it the right way, and I'm sure they were doing plenty of things as well, and people are probably taking things that, you know, get them a little more jacked up or muscular that are right up to the line. And who knows if there were blood tests and, oh God, we're going down so many different obnoxious time consuming wormholes. But I would feel terrible for these pitchers and some of these other guys who really just like Some of these, like, grinders. Baseball is still a sport where I feel like there's a couple of those old gamers and grinders that just, like, they do it that right way. And that to me, is part of the fun. I am a little disappointed, yes, when you find out that, although not necessarily or explicitly named, you know, from the Mitchell report, that, you know, Manny and probably Poppy in the way back were, you know, maybe taking a little something on the side. Yeah,
nothing wrong with
but
that.
Again, that's back when everyone was doing it as well. So I guess there's your sort of, there's the disclaimer or excuse therein. But that's just me. I'm not that old fashioned, but I play it that way on TV and the radio.
Fitzy, you bring up the pitchers, right? And again, the batters are probably saying to themselves in their justification of this that they need to do what they need to do because the pitchers are using pine tar and the pitchers are using this and they're using that and they're being deceptive out there and they step off the mound way too many times. I mean, there's a million excuses, but pitchers, absolutely, right here in the Red Sox, whether it's David Price, whether it's Rick Porcello.
How about,
I mean,
Clay Buchholz
with the stuff in the hair?
Well, no. How about the fact that Jack Morris used to, like, when he was calling the games for the Blue Jays, like, he's literally got like an armful of bullfrog sunblock on there. How can the umpire not see this? Wait a second. That team's colors, like their hats are navy blue. How come his is white? Because it's literally just covered, and you see it, the pitcher grabbing his hat like 50 times.
Exactly.
Of course he's getting the pine tar and the rosin. What, but though, haven't those always sort of either like been grandfathered in?
Oh,
or
so
like
cheating that's grandfathered in is good. That's okay.
That's the fun stuff.
In 100 years.
I think they should still be able to take greenies in the dugout. Merlone would tell you how he took thousands of them.
That's how we lost all the weight?
Yeah. Let's try not to. It's like we're already losing our minds. Let's not lose all of our sponsors in the same break. Maybe that's just me. Maybe there's some other people out there that feel the same way, or maybe I just sound like an old-fashioned idiot. But
maybe a little bit, just a little bit of an idiot. And I get where you're coming from. You idealize things, and I'm envious of your way of thinking and the way that you look at the world, Fitzy. It's why I like working with you, because I'm hoping some of that will rub off on me.
Right. When I see movies, you know what I like? Practical effects. I don't need to see Carrie Fisher, who's been dead for 3 years, in a new Star Wars movie. I know she's dead. And they're going to be using all of these lines that they captured 4 or 5 years ago. That's just going to have I'm crippled with paralyzing self-awareness to begin with. But I don't need to see someone now they're animating her. That's part of the reason why I don't think I've watched The Irishman. I don't need to watch them like make Robert De Niro look 40 years younger.
Would you go see if she
cast
were,
somebody else?
If she were performing at the Garden next week, would you go see the hologram of Whitney Houston, or would you go see the Beatles? Because I would. I couldn't wait to go and see.
Would you really?
Absolutely.
Would you? Do you want the Tupac hologram entertaining you in your home?
Sure. Why not?
Oh,
I mean, if I could go out there and I could see Whitney Houston perform, one of the greatest artists of a generation until she became a crackhead, absolutely. And they can take her and they can turn back the clock to pre-crack cocaine and you can get the best of Whitney Houston. Why not? Why not go out there and watch the Beatles perform or watch Elvis perform? If it's going to look and feel and sound like they're right there in front of you, then why not? So those are the special effects that I like to have in my life, Fitzy.
Please, everybody, proceed to the window if you had the under of the oddballs talking about Whitney Houston and Tupac before 3:30 on the Saturday broadcast.
It's Sports Radio WEI. It's the Oddballs. It's Fitzy. It's Gilroy. It is your phone calls at 617-779-7937.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Now back to The Oddballs with Fitzy and Gilroy on WEEI.
When you study that report and you read it carefully, you recognize what happened in Houston and what went on. And we knew from management's perspective that it would be difficult for Alex to lead given this distraction that this has caused. And Alex recognized that as well, came in on Tuesday through a series of meetings and made it very, very clear that he was not comfortable leading the organization going forward given what had happened in Houston in 2017.
It is the Oddballs, right here on Sports Radio WEI. It's Fitzy, it's Gilroy. The number to join us here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. And Fitzy, when you listen to that soundbite right there, are we essentially trying to get fans to understand, or the Red Sox trying to get fans to believe, that the decision for Alex Cora to part ways from the Red Sox is nothing to do with what he did here in Boston? It's because of what he was a part of when he was in Houston?
I'm not sure I'm allowed to do this, because I know the whole trope or the way sports radio works is each of us has an opinion, a very direct take. We have sometimes a hot take.
Very hot take.
If there's two of us, we have to disagree with each other because that's the way that works. And if there's three of us, well, then we've got a chance for a two-on-one. Sorry about that. That's
not menage a trois.
Pass on that. Apologize to everyone in New England for the way that came out. But I just kind of want to just be honest and say, I don't know. Now, earlier in the week, when I heard about them parting ways with Cora and then watched the press conference Wednesday, I was all in on the shame on the Red Sox, shame on Cora, shame on baseball, shame, shame. I mean, I wanted them all to walk naked down King's Landing Walk, throw vegetables at them, ring the bell, shame, shame, shame.
Okay.
Now, we find out Alex Cora definitely was involved in Houston, but we've got all these guys, and unless they're all completely pathological liars or they sign like a blood pact or something, how am I supposed to, like, J.D. Martinez, affable enough guy, adamantly defending that the Red Sox did nothing wrong in 2018. Xander Bogaerts, I don't care if he just got his 6-for-$120 contract. This is the leader of the Red Sox now. To me, he is the unofficial leader. He is the face of the 2020 Red Sox and probably the face of the Red Sox going forward, and a highly likable person. He says there is nothing tainted about their 2018 title. They did it all the right way. So what am I supposed to believe? I mean, really, I can go whichever way I want to go, but I may end up believing something that one day proves out to be right, and then I can say, ha, told you so, but then I feel bad for not believing in my Red Sox. And then if I believe a certain way and then they prove to be cheaters, then it's like, well, the hell with you guys, because there I was defending you like an idiot in a bar to my friends, in a text thread, on the radio, putting my name and reputation, or whatever the hell my reputation is, on the line, and then you made me look like a damn fool. And I'll have you know, Red Sox, I am perfectly capable of making myself look like a fool on my own.
And that's why it's so much safer, Fitzy, to sort of take my approach and shrug your shoulders, say, I don't care. The Red Sox won. I'm a Red Sox fan. I enjoyed watching it, and the World Series was real. It was a real moment. It took place. You got your exhilaration, your thrill, your fulfillment as a Red Sox fan, and you move on. We can't sit here and sort of relitigate or replay what took place a couple of years ago. I'm more concerned about what becomes of the Red Sox this year, next year, moving forward. Here's a couple of things. I know the Red Sox last year because I was doing a tremendous amount of late night before Mark James wound up taking over four nights a week. I was doing late night and Red Sox review. And for the longest time, as the Red Sox were sputtering along, especially the first half of the year last year, you continued to hear Alex Cora, the manager, talk about the prior year and wanting a continuation of the prior year. He felt no reason to be Belichickian and sort of say, okay, last year was in the past, this is the new year, a new team. He didn't take that approach at all.
Second verse, same as the first. Let's run it back.
Exactly.
That was for you, Ken. You're welcome.
Clearly it didn't work, right? Clearly it did not work. So there's that one problem right there. The next problem that this team has got is that they've got players in Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts, that essentially have come out time and time again in support of Alex Cora. They love this guy. They love working for him. They love playing for him. They feel like he's a huge part of the environment there with the Boston Red Sox.
And didn't we all love him, Patrick?
Absolutely. But here's the thing. Does Alex Cora not being here ultimately cost you a chance at re-signing Mookie Betts? You know, that is something that I think matters here. Was Mookie going to stick around here for, reasonable market, you know, market-based dollars. But did the Red Sox have a bit of an edge in the Mookie sweepstakes because he enjoyed playing for Alex Cora?
Well, if they bring in somebody this year that he doesn't like, you can be damn well sure that he'll say, I'll take it to market and I'm not coming back.
And that's sort of my overwhelming
point
here.
You couldn't keep Alex. Yeah, I get it. And you could not keep Alex Cora just to possibly placate Mookie. What are you going to do? Keep it? If it comes out and we're anxiously awaiting, just the same way Belichick would the release of every injury report, like, oh, I can't wait to give that to you. We're legitimately waiting on pins and needles for this report to come out so we can know the layers, the depths, the degrees to which the Red Sox may or may not have gone in 2018 to get their competitive advantage with technology. And if it comes out that they didn't, and there was just like a video room where they would go back and like try to like look at some stuff mid-game, and it's like, guys, that's one of those like, we'd rather you not, but we did give you the TV, so okay. All right, that's right on us. If it turns out that's what they did, then this is the title of probably your favorite Shakespearean play, Much Ado About Nothing.
So why the rush?
And then we're going to look like idiots. I think the Red Sox may have let Alex Cora go this week, and we may have all jumped to our 280-character shame and opinion machine, the Twitter box, and we may have all run out to dish out the hot takes and say, Alex Cora, I can't believe you. You're a fraud. What did you do? You're a cheater. Shame on you. We may have rushed to judgment this week. I don't know. I don't know. Because, again, I'm taking the word of a couple of stars that I've been watching and rooting for that seem like pretty legitimate, likable guys. And if they're all in on it, I mean, then what are we talking about here? Then we literally just have a bunch of talented pathological liars who can hit a curveball?
And that's the problem here. And I will ask you this. If nothing took place here in 2018, let's say the Red Sox didn't cross any of these imaginary lines that offend you, Fitzy, and you know whatever took place with Cora in Houston was not carried over with Cora here in Boston. Does that still mean that Cora would have been suspended for next year? You know what I mean? And if he was, does that mean that the Red Sox had to essentially part ways with him because he would have to sit out next year? That I can understand. So
no, they would have had Renicky do it. This would have been like getting rung up in the third or fourth inning.
So that's it. They would have had him for an entire year.
Did the Red Sox fire him for like the most obnoxious, one of the most obnoxious of contemporarily used words, optics? Did we fire him for optics?
Or did the Red Sox know what took place? Did the Red Sox have a legitimate conversation that we're not going to learn about with Cora, with the players? Was there a player that sort of sold Cora out? And did those owners know what they were doing? Because I got to tell you, for as much as people don't like John Henry and Tom Warner, because let's face it, John Henry can be a little bit, I don't know, creepy sometimes.
They're not the Crafts. No. That's it. They're just not the Crafts.
That's the biggest problem.
They're not the Crafts.
So, you know, people are quick to judge them, right? Whether it's, you know, because John Henry's got a hot younger girlfriend, whatever the reason is, people are very judgmental, but they've been very successful in every aspect of their business endeavors, especially here in Boston with the Red Sox, whether it's making money or winning World Series, they've done it. They've done it in everything that they've done. Tom Warner's one of the most successful TV guys in the history of the medium. That's what these guys continue to do.
He likes working with deceitful people like Bill Cosby.
It's okay. They win at every level is what I'm saying. Everything that they've done in their lives, they've been successful at and good at, and they've been successful and good here. So I don't think that they got that way. I don't think that they became multi-billionaires over all these years by rushing to judgment and really worrying about optics all that much. I think what I believe is that they know the truth. They know what took place here, and they're hoping, you know, their little fingers are crossed, John Henry's crossing his fingers and toes, that it doesn't become public, that Major League Baseball doesn't ultimately learn what happened here. But he knows whatever took place at Fenway Park last year and the year before crossed that line that bothers you so much. Apparently, they crossed that line, and that same line bothers John Henry quite a bit.
If he did it in Houston and did nothing in Boston, then this would have been one of those, you know, I doubt they would have had a giant framed picture of him, a giant blown up picture of him hanging over practice the same way they did in New Orleans. But remember when their coach was, tagged Jonathan Vilma among many, and then, of course, Sean Payton tagged and tossed out of the league for a year because of the whole Bounty Gate scandal? If there was something where Cora was going to get, like, rung up for 80 games or rung up for a season for his prior involvement, but he didn't bring that here, A, why would Cora have done it there and been such a willing participant, but then not brought anything of that related to his, you know, illegal competitive advantage gaining system to Boston. B, if he did, but then we haven't heard about it, did the Red Sox basically this week find out about it and then say, all right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to sort of pretend that we didn't hear about it, even though we know about it, and we're going to spin it that, you know, like it's just too toxic an environment right now. So we're going to part ways with Alex, but we're going to compliment you on the way out the door so you can save face and maybe work in baseball again one day, so long as baseball doesn't ban you. And if they do, then see, baseball got it right, and everyone's going to look like an idiot.
Or you could just have my approach and not care. I just don't care. I love the game of baseball. I'll watch the game of baseball.
How can you not care if you love the game of baseball?
Because
apathy is not an option.
No, of course it is. Except the fact that sign stealing's realistic. Sign stealing happens. It's always going to happen. Steroids are always going to happen. HGH is always going to happen. There's always going
to
be...
This isn't World War. You're supposed to develop a Turing machine when you're deciding to figure out... You're supposed to, like... You need a genius like Turing to crack an Enigma code because we're talking about the balance of the free world. This is baseball. This is a game. We need to hurry up and figure out collectively as a society, if we're going to go down this road, is baseball sport that we are to respect for gamesmanship and competition and to teach us values and lessons, or is it entertainment?
Because if
it's just entertainment, then do whatever you want with your cameras and your doodads and your whiz bangs and your iPads. Take all the drugs you want to and just entertain me. And don't let anyone cry about, oh, man, I didn't get another contract because Brady Anderson hit 50 home runs off me when he had hit 8 the year before.
Fitzy.
Well, that costs people money.
Fitzy, I want you to go to the library on your way home today, okay, and check out a book called The Jordan Rules. And it's going to educate you about the things that Michael Jordan got away with. Now the same things that Kobe Bryant got away with and now LeBron James gets away with. So let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. If the Lakers are down by one and LeBron James blatantly travels, but he gets to the rim and gets the layup, gets the dunk, and they win the game. If that were somebody else, if that were Gordon Hayward, or if that were Grant Williams,
that ain't happening.
All right, if it were Grant Williams and he blatantly traveled with the basketball and he hit a game winner, guess what? He's being called for the travel. So is it cheating because LeBron gets away with it, because Michael got away with it, because Kobe gets away with it, because Bird got away with it? I mean, let's face it, when it helps your guy, mm-hmm. we're all for it. That's cheating kind of, but not really. There's always a different set of rules in the NBA for elite players. I feel like it's the same thing in the NFL.
It's definitely the same thing in the NFL because we just saw Gronk get judged and officiated completely different than any other player on the field at any time. And no, this is not me being somebody who's crying because of a Patriots persecution complex. Legitimately, the guy was judged differently than anyone else because it was almost like it was his fault that he was built like a left tackle that had wide receiver speed and running back hands.
Okay, but in years past, not so much this year, you know, Tom Brady also got the benefit of the doubt quite a bit. You couldn't breathe on the guy without drawing a flag, and that was something that irked other players, irked the opposition. They felt like Tom had a different set of rules than other quarterbacks.
It's benefited a lot of other quarterbacks, except for one, Cam Newton, who now is going to end up getting traded away from his team.
But do those things bother you? Do they bother you? Does it bother you that LeBron gets a different set of rules than everybody else?
I like a level playing. That's what I said. I like a level playing field. What can I say?
I want to go through life as you just for a day. I want to know what it feels like.
Oh, it's so weird. I got these bony shoulders and I just, all existential dread. Like I said, the crippling self-awareness. I got slow metabolism.
Funny man Fitzy. That's what I want to be just for one day of my life.
Well, show me one and you can go through life like him because it ain't this guy.
It is Sports Radio WEI. It's Fitzy. It's Gilroy. It is the Oddballs. The number to join us here is 617-779-7937. Open the show today talking about this whole Red Sox thing. It is the Red Sox winter weekend. WEI, of course, broadcasted live from there all morning. You guys can check out the replay of all that on WEI.com and radio.com. Conversations with Pedro Martinez, Sam Kennedy. You've got Rob Bradford over there. You had Lou Maloney, Mike Monansky. So check that stuff out after you're done listening to the Oddballs. And we can't just do Red Sox cheating scandals all day here. So, you know, when we come back, I do want to get into a little bit of Celtics stuff. The Celtics are in action tonight. It's a very winnable game at home. This is when the Celtics have been good. Problem for me, Fitzy, is that the Celtics have continued to struggle against very good teams and on national TV. And they've had an opportunity.
The 2019 Patriots?
They had opportunity after opportunity to go out there and establish themselves as a legitimate contender. And the exact same issues that have plagued this team this year, similar ones plagued them last year, but I'll go all the way back to the year prior, all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals of the year prior when they blew a 2-0 lead, then a 3-2 lead. And they didn't let LeBron James beat them. They didn't let Kevin Love beat them. They let Jeff Green beat them. So those things are starting to add up, piss me off, and I'm running out of patience with Brad Stevens. We'll get into that and more when we come back right here on Sports Radio WEI.
More of what you want to hear, the Oddballs with Fitzy and Gilroy on WEEI.
Yeah, I mean, that was more Celtics basketball than we've seen in a while in the second half. That was good. I was encouraged. But obviously, you can't give up 76 in the first. It's two nights in a row that, you know, we weren't as good as we want to be in transition, but, you know, we took really good shots from the two teams we were playing against, making shots. So, again, I'm really encouraged by the second half, especially coming off a stretch we've come off of to dig deep and give ourselves a chance. That was back to what we want to be.
The Celtics head coach, Brad Stevens, right there. After another difficult loss on national TV, in fairness to the Celtics, it was on the second night of a back-to-back with travel, and Milwaukee was home sort of waiting for the Celtics, anticipating the Celtics, and they're the best team in basketball, and it's not even close.
That was a Vipers right den that they were headed into. That was a legitimate Vipers den.
And
they could have even just said, you know what, guys, put it in the books as, you know, 110-97, but we're not gonna. We're okay with that one. They weren't gonna come off that Detroit loss and then just magically go the next night out to Milwaukee and shock the Bucks.
But again, it's the Detroit loss that really bothers me because when you look at that game, it's at home. The Celtics have been very good at home. They're supposed to be a contender, right? That's who this Celtics team is supposed to be at this stage in the game based on the way they started the season. We all started to convince ourselves that they could contend at least in the Eastern Conference to put up a legitimate fight in a potential Eastern Conference final with the Milwaukee Bucks. Losing at home to the Pistons, a team that, by the way, before this year is out, the Pistons, if things go their way, they will have traded Andre Drummond. They will have traded Derrick Rose. Now, that's a team that is not interested in veteran players anymore. That's a team that is ready, willing, and able to push the blow-it-up button and start all over again. Markieff Morris, they want him out of there. They want to take that team, go young, go to the lottery. They're not even trying to win games. And the Celtics, once again, and this thing has plagued them. And again, we blame Kyrie Irving, and I blame Kyrie a lot for what happened last year. I do. But if I gave Kyrie 90% of the blame a month into the season, now it's down to 85 or 80. And some more of that blame from last year has got to go on Brad Stevens, because there is one problem. This team, sure, they are more likable than they were last year. They're a more affable bunch, and I do think that they try harder in general than they did last year. But this team has still got this sort of sense of arrogance about them and this belief that they've achieved more than they really have. And that irks me to no end. This team has won nothing, Fitzy, nothing. But they behave like a team that's coming off a championship. Just roll the ball out there. We'll give it a half-ass effort. And eventually, our talent will take over and we'll win basketball games. You cannot succeed in the NBA that way.
Wow, you're mad at these Celtics.
I'm mad at the head coach. That is a systemic problem
so you do
that comes
believe,
from the
okay,
head coach.
It's a systemic issue, you believe. So your lead, I wouldn't say lead, that's what we do in the mornings on the Greg Hill Show.
That's right,
so
because you're a morning show star.
Please.
You can't say
stop
please
enough.
When I say that.
So your big market tease there was, do the Celtics have a Brad Stevens problem?
Sure.
And you believe they do.
I do. At this stage right now, Fitzy, I feel like Brad Stevens.
This is his fault. This is not the player still being immature. This is not a talent deficit. This is not a, shall we say, they're not missing a role. This isn't a role player issue. You believe this is a head coach issue.
They were down 17 points in the first quarter to the Spurs a couple weeks back. This is not your grandfather's Spurs. They were five games below 500. You're at home. This team continues to have an inability to look prepared.
My grandfather's Spurs had George Gervin on them.
You know what I mean. Your father's Spurs. Whatever. This is not David Robinson. This is not Tim Duncan. It's not even Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker. Okay, it's not the Spurs. Same uniform, same head coach, different group of guys on the court. My point is, this team continues to look unprepared. They continue to look disinterested early on in these games. And even when they got off to their 25-8 start or whatever it was, they had a lot of comebacks. They were a team that continues to fight, and they fought in Milwaukee. They came back from 20 down two or three times in that game. They did not give up, and ultimately they made it close. But that just shows you how talented they are. They do have elite-level talent on this team. they can't afford to dig themselves 10, 15, 20-point holes night in and night out and expect to be successful. That's not how you operate successfully in the NBA. For once, I want to see this team come out and be the tone setter. For once, I want to see the Celtics come out and make the other team adjust to them as opposed to the Celtics always the ones doing the adjusting. And that, to me, is a head coach problem, whether he doesn't have the ability to get this team inspired before games. And I feel like that's kind of a ridiculous thing to say. I feel like when I talk about this, it bothers me that I have to utter the words that a head coach in the NBA has to have his team psyched up and ready to go.
That's absurd. It's absurd you should have to. It's absurd that you should have to motivate or find a way. Your job is to prepare them. You're a coach. You coach them into the best scenarios and the best cases for winning, utilizing their talents and what you know to be the strengths and particularly the weaknesses of the other team. That's what Bill Belichick does. Bill Belichick does not give stirring, rousing, motivating speeches.
Really? Bill Belichick doesn't give stirring speeches. You're right about that. But there's no better person, I think, in the NFL when it comes to getting a psychological advantage than Belichick.
Okay, that's fine, too. But the thing that Belichick is most famous for, what we love about him, and the thing that I lean back on and am most disappointed when I see a dearth of it or when it disappears like it did at times this year, all the way up into and including the final two games of the season where the narrow margin of error 2019 Patriots lost a couple of games by just a couple points. The Titans game was 14-13 emotionally in all of our hearts. I don't care about the Logan Ryan pick six at the end of the game. They lost a couple games. The Kansas City game. We could be talking about the Patriots at least having had a shot to host the AFC Championship tomorrow were it not for one of these narrow margin of error games. Why? Because Belichick puts them in the best position to win. He figures out how to utilize what he has the best, and he figures out how to utilize what he has against who he's playing the best. If Brad Stevens can't figure that out, then A, what the hell is he doing out there? And B, who's available to do it? Because now we're talking about them doing this 3 years in a row. And why were they so good at it 2 years ago when the kids were all rooks in second years and now they can't figure it out? And was the start of the season because they were playing paper tigers? That's why I said, are they basically basketball's 2019 Patriots, where they got out to a big start because they played soft opponents and now they're running into the real meat of the schedule and they're paying for it?
There was some of that, but there was also some motivation. These guys do have a lot of pride. And look, the fact is people said they were going to win 60 games last year, and this year all the expectations were lowered pretty drastically because of what took place in the offseason, losing Al Horford, losing Kyrie Irving, only bringing in Kemba Walker. You know, these guys took that personally, and they played with the chip on their shoulder. That same chip on their shoulder is the same chip they played with a couple of years ago when you lost Gordon Hayward and eventually lost Kyrie Irving going into the playoffs, and you took the Cleveland Cavaliers to Game 7 of the conference final without your two All-Stars.
27-13 doesn't suck, by the way, just for the record. But they were, what, 25-9, and now they've gone 2-4?
Yeah, exactly. So they're 2-4 in their last six.
And are we swooning, maybe?
No, because when you look at the losses that they had throughout the entire season, look at it, what's the one thing they have in common? When they play a legitimate contender, they generally don't win. And the NBA right now is pretty top-heavy. So you've got a lot about what happened last week against the Pistons. It just there's a few troubling things happening. And Brad Stevens has got two issues in my mind. He's got his team's sort of psychological issue, not being prepared, not being ready to start the game. And then he continues to have this philosophy. And I understand where the philosophy comes from. I just don't think the Celtics have the right personnel to execute it. So a few years back when the Golden State Warriors sort of went on their run, I'm talking about the year prior to Kevin Durant getting there and they win a championship without KD. What made them so beautiful was, with the exception of their point guard, they played positionless basketball, at least in their mind. And this is where Brad got the idea in his head that you could have a team. His dream team was five guys on the floor between 6'6 and 6'8, no defined positions. You just pop the ball around offensively, and the open shot is the best shot, and that's how Brad wants to play. Problem is, the Celtics have that right now. They've got a team where they can execute that, and that doesn't work in the NBA. You need to be able to feed the hot hand, and if it's Jason Tatum, Jason Tatum needs to take 30 shots. If it's Jaylen Brown, give him his 30 shots. If it's Kemba, give him 25, 30 shots. If it's Hayward, let him have his. But the Celtics are so concerned with spreading the wealth and 12 shots for you, 14 shots for you, 9 shots for you, so everybody feels good about themselves at the end of the game. That irks me to no end. This is a superstar-driven league. So if Jaylen Brown is hot, let him be the guy that's the catalyst for the night. If it's Jason Tatum, let him be the catalyst for the night. But you have to have your alpha on this team. And that's why, as much as it pains me to say it, the Celtics also have a Gordon Hayward problem. They do. I want to see Hayward succeed here. I want to see the renaissance here. I want to see him come back to what he was here because I'm a fan, because he's so likable, because he's worked his ass off, because there's something very marketable about him. So I would buy into what he's saying. He's got the picture perfect family. He's a good looking guy and a great basketball player. He's what you want to market your team around. Problem is, he's not their best player, not their second best player, not their third best player. He's maybe their fourth best player right now. And he's got max dollars on that contract. This team has got multiple holes that need to be plugged because they've got an opportunity, in my mind, to go to an NBA final. They're never going to get to that final unless they trade away Gordon Hayward and bring in a big. They need somebody to come in and be a difference maker so teams like Milwaukee don't run all over the Celtics in the postseason, or teams like Philadelphia with a front court of Joel Embiid and Al Horford don't crush the Celtics in the postseason. Because right now, the basketball that we're being watched, that we're watching right now, is very different than postseason basketball. And this is where fans forget. In the postseason, even the running teams are forced to slow it down, play half court, and eventually it becomes a grind it out type of game. And that's where a team like Philadelphia, we can laugh at them all we want. We can make fun of them all we want for their dysfunction. But having a front court with Al Horford, a front court with Joel Embiid, that is going to give the Celtics fits in a postseason. They don't have anybody, not a soul, that can put the fear of God into either one of those two guys. So you trade away Hayward, and maybe you talk about replacing your head coach. And then I think the Celtics, they could compete for their 18th championship.
All right, then. How about
I got that off my chest.
I was going to say, do you feel better now?
Much. Yeah.
Sometimes, do you ever just sort of wake up and you know, like, I'm not in a mood today, but I just need to, like, get something off my chest. And you don't want to, like, take it out on a significant other or just, like, be a bad coworker. So you either, like, go to the gym, or sometimes you're like, you know, I just feel like going outside and just, like, shouting real quick. Or,
yeah,
like, you get in your car and you just swear at somebody that you get caught behind driving or whatever. And you're like, oh, man, I needed to get, like, I really had to take care of that. Like, I had to get that out of my system. Do you feel a little better now?
I feel a tremendous amount better right now.
A weight has been lifted.
That's right. It is Sports Radio, WEI. It's Fitzy, it's Gilroy, it's the Oddballs. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation, start to work in some NFL stuff.
And I also don't disagree with anything you said. I just knew that you were kind of going on a rant, so I wanted to let you just sort of have a moment.
I had to get it over with, right?
I appreciate you.
I do. Friends like you, Fitzy, I need more of them in my life. So it is Fitzy, it is Gilroy. Room for you guys here at 617-779-7937.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.